Our God is a marvelous Father, and we don't always comprehend what He's doing. But I can guarantee you this, He knows what to do and when to do it. And this morning, my heart was yearning for His will to be unfolding in not only the house of prayer, but the body of Christ. I heard a couple of things, but I want to relate a little bit of what I believe God is speaking, that we're in a new season. How many know number 888 is something very special that only happens once in over 1,000 years? How many know that number 8 represents Christ Jesus when it's tripled? This past week, my wife and I have gone through a test, probably bigger for her than it is for me. But those of you who know the little village of Three Rivers know that everybody in town knows each other. When I moved there 52 years ago, I moved there in June, and in July I met a friend that came from Vermont to visit his cousin. Believe it or not, I went to celebrate a birthday party at Kirsten's grandmother's house. I did. And I'm sure she's probably heard that story, and my son has heard that story, but the girl that actually literally pestered my wife to go to that party was Doris Page, became Pereira. She went home to be with Jesus this past Tuesday morning. Well, her and my wife were brought up on the same street, born on the same street, believe it or not, went to the same school for 8 years, then Doris went away to school, and when she graduated, she got married before we did, had her first boy before we did, and needless to say, she did everything first, even though she was the instrument God used to introduce me to my wife. To make a long story short, when she went home this week, it was unexpected, because she's been sick for a long, long time and had a major problem with diabetes, had her leg removed partially below the knee. A few months later, they had to take it up over the knee. She suffered tremendously, infections of all types. She lost her ability to think for quite a while. There was a lot of fear tactics, but every step of the way, God would give us grace and give us mercy, and resurrected her each time from a deathbed. Well, Sunday afternoon, we got a telephone call from her daughter and said, don't go to the nursing home to visit Mom. She's not there. Please, she's at the Weir Hospital. We don't know what's wrong, some kind of an infection. She's really having a real hard time. So my wife went up with me on Sunday night, and we visited with her at the hospital. She was definitely conscious of us, talked to us a few words, but she was extremely weak. That was her cry. I'm so weak. I'm so weak. I have no energy. She took my hand several times, tried to sit up. I couldn't even sit up in bed, and we just plopped back down, and no energy. Zero. So we anointed her, as we did many times when we went to visit her. In fact, she would tease us sometimes. You're not leaving without praying for me, are you? So this was the kind of relationship that we had. And a few weeks back, we went to visit her, and she said to me, Kim, she says, I'm so holy now. She says, you would never believe that this girl that hated to go to church is now going to every service at the nursing home. And she says, I love them all. And her daughter was on a major guilt trip because she would have wanted to take care of her mom, but she has three small children. She has a set of twins, and she also has a little baby that's 2 years old. Well, that requires. She's also going through a major crisis in her marriage. So all that on top of a mom that's not well. How many know that's called crisis? Okay? But we were there to support her. And we went back Monday night. And when we visited with her on Monday, she was like, I would call it like a semi-coma, but they had told us they had given her medicine, so her body was very limp. And she really had no responses at whatever. The nurse came and she took her blood, you know, perforated her finger, got some blood out. She never even moved. Well, I mean, no matter how used to it you can be, normally when somebody punctures your finger, her index finger, you have some kind of reaction, zero. The nurse left and she said, she says, I remember you guys. She says, you visited with her when she was really, really down. Meaning a year and 2 years ago. And I said, yeah, we were. She says, have you seen her lately normal? And I said, yes, we went to see her Friday night. She was with us and we brought her some ice cream and we celebrated with our grandson and with my little great-granddaughter, and she took her in her arms, and we rode around in the wheelchair, and we had a marvelous night. And she says this word, I'm glad you have a good memory. The implication is, this is the last time you will have had some time with her. And that kind of resonated in my spirit, because you know sometimes a word coming from an authority, she's the nurse, she knows all the details, she's got the list of circumstances that are going on, and she said these words as she's leaving the room, and she says, you know, she says, I wish I had some friends as close as what you are to this lady. She says, I have a few, but none of us have many. And she says, cherish the memory. My wife said to her, well, what is the prognosis? In other words, what are they doing for her? She says, the last time she was ill, we knew what we were fighting, and the doctors knew what they were giving her would counteract it, and there was hope. But this time, they're shooting in the dark. In other words, they're filling her with antibiotics, but they have no clue what's going on. And the infection is in her blood, and it's everywhere. So after everybody cleared out, I said to my wife, I said, I think we need to pray for her. And she said, okay, while we're alone, we'll do that. And I gave her some oil, and I said, anoint her foot. And my wife looked at me kind of strange, because normally I'm doing this on my own, but this was her girlfriend, and it was a needed thing that we did this together. So we anointed her extremities, her hands, her feet, her foot, actually, and her forehead, and there was an awareness that something was not the same as in the past. But you know when you have a perception in your spirit, it's not your brain that's talking to you, it's your heart that's talking. And my heart was saying, this is different. So we left, and obviously 8 o'clock the next morning, she was gone to be with Jesus. So I teased my wife, and I said, again, she's got to be first, huh? Again, first in marriage, first in having a baby. I mean, you know, why does she have to be first and us sit around and have to pick up the pieces? So we teased her family with that. And it was a difficult time, but I want to thank the grace that came. Because, you know, when the scripture says, my grace is sufficient for you, I know I had some calls that came. We're praying for you. Is everything okay? No, it's not okay. Things are rough. Don't stop praying. But I can tell you this. My emotions were trying to get the best of me a couple of times. I said, Lord, you promised that your grace would be sufficient. And I cried out for that grace. And I can tell you truthfully, I saw the grace of God on that family so intense during the entire services on Thursday and Friday. It was awesome. I got to meet her granddaughter. I know Paige a little bit. Got to know her boyfriend, and God willing, he'll be with us one of these days because he loves the Lord. But what I'm saying to you in all this, don't underestimate God. He knows what he's doing. It's a new day. It's a new season for our life. And The word that came this morning is out with the old and in with the new. So I want to take you to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, starting at verse 1. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me from my birth, and he has made mention of my name. Whoa. The Lord has called you, even if you're in a distant nation, he has made mention of your name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword in the shadows of his hand. He hid me. Did you hear that? He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. What does that mean? It means that the words that are going to come out of your mouth during your lifetime are going to actually pierce some hearts and pierce some people to transform them from natural beings to spiritual beings. He is going to use your mouth and your words, and it will impact people that you have no clue about. And all of a sudden, you'll realize, oh my God, what has God done? How many of you have ever had a word that you know wasn't your idea, and you gave it to someone, and the fruits were awesome, and they were able to respond to you, God is in you. Put your hand up. Look around now. Don't put your hand down yet. Look around. Because you see, what I'm saying to you is that you know that the arrow that you are is in God's quiver, and he pulls you out, and he lets you go when it's time. When it's time. On time, on target, in season and out of season. Verse 3, he said to me, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. Israel is the spirit man of Jacob. If I took you back into Genesis, I could give you all that instigation about how Jacob was really a real instigator. He had all kinds of great ideas, and he used God for his own benefit. Yoo-hoo! Anybody ever done that? I have. But I said, I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. When Doris was relating to us that she was going to all these services and teasing us that she was so holy now, her daughter was also going on a guilt trip because of the family circumstances and all the things that happened to her mother. She wasn't able to take care of her because she had her living with her for several months when she got sick. And even in certain levels of conversation with this family, you could see that her desire was to take care of mom, but her abilities were not there. How many know you like to do, but you can't always do? Because the commission was different. The reason I'm telling you all this is because Thursday afternoon, my wife and I are looking at some of the pictures. They had a collage of different pictures over the years of her and her family. And there's this young woman. I would say she's probably 20, 25. She's standing in front of the pictures, and she's literally crying and crying. And she says, I've only known Doris for a little while, and I don't know why I'm crying, but I'm going to miss her so bad. And she's weeping, and I mean, it's just pouring out of this young woman. Now, I've known Doris for 52 years, and I know Doris, and I know the kind of woman she was, okay? She was the kind of person that was bubbly all the time. She loved to tease everybody. But when she first got to that nursing home, she was a vegetable. And it was many, many times my wife and I would pray and we'd say, God, if you want to take her home, it's okay. But if you have a plan for her, we're trusting you to do something awesome. And the nurses would say, you know, she doesn't have her right mind. Well, most of the people that are in that nursing home don't have their right mind, so she fit right in. But a few months went by through constant prayer. God revitalized this young woman. After the second surgery, she had another dip. But she came back to life bigger and better. And a few months ago, we went to visit. And the head nurse, we went up there and she's gone. She's old, you know, now she has wheels and she's independent and she's all over the place. So anywhere is possible. Guess where we found her? In the park across the street at a rock and roll band. And she was celebrating with some people over there and her kids. She impacted that nursing home. Come to find out, during the evening time, I believe it's 5 or 6 other nurses took time off from work, got the freedom to come, and all of them doing the same thing as the first one. And later on that night, we went to her son's house, and he said, I never realized what Mom did in that nursing home. She brought life to these nurses. She got them to laugh at life. And she was able to bring them through hardships, and she was able to give them words of life. And one of the ladies said to my wife, your girlfriend was one of a kind. That's why we came. We don't go to every person that dies. But this one was full of life, and we could feel the life when we walked into her room, and we went to visit, and we brought her goodies. Why? Because she was the one that was feeding us, and we were just giving back a little bit of food in the natural. She was giving them spiritual food, and she didn't even realize the fullness of the impact she was having. She was an arrow in God's quiver. She was shot into that nursing home by choice. Yet her whole family was still on a guilt trip. And as we were leaving the funeral home on Friday afternoon, the Lord said, make sure you anoint her daughter. And of course, I've anointed her before. She knows I'm a weirdo, so I already qualify, so there's no judgment there. And I began to weep, and I said, Lord, what do I say? And you know how God works. He just bubbles out and gives all those wonderful words. And one of the words that came out is, don't go on a guilt trip. Mama was where she needed to be. Mama gave out what she needed to give. And many will be changed because of the life of Christ that was in her. Yes, she was holy. She was giving out what God had put in her. What we had given her, she gave out to others. What are you going to do with what you received today? Are you going to just hold on to it and hoard it in your heart? I pray not, because you are an arrow polished by God, released out of his quiver on time for wherever he sends you.
Amen.
Whoa, that was a little slow. Try it again. Say, I'm an arrow.
I'm an arrow.
Polished by God. Ready to be released from his quiver wherever he sends me. Not where I think I should be. Not where I feel good. But where God sends me. Hallelujah. Well, are you catching on now? Let's go a little deeper. Verse 5. And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and to gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord. Did you hear that? I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and to bring back those of Israel that I have kept. I will also make you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. When I read that, I said, Lord, that's our president this morning. Our president was not afraid to go to church. Our president was not afraid to say, I worship the Most High God. I'm not afraid to stick my neck out and tell the Chinese government, what about those that you're persecuting? What about those that you put in prison because they're giving out the Word of God? Those that are doing the work of evangelism. Yes. How many have seen the news? That president was definitely irritating the Chinese government. But he was doing it as what? A polished arrow out of God's quiver at the right time. Now, are you waiting to become the president of the United States to be used by God? I pray not. I pray not. But could you be? Absolutely. Some of you could be. Hallelujah. Verse 7. This is what the Lord says. The Redeemer and the Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nations, to the servants of rulers, kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see how you bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Who chose President Bush to go to Israel? The Lord. What about when he spoke to this President Putin here, who's, I believe he's not president anymore. He's got another person in his place, but nevertheless, same idea. And the war that's going on in Georgia. What is our responsibility? Intercede as the press of God comes to intercede and to pray for them. Because you don't know the fullness of God's plan there, but God will make it clear. Now verse 8 says, restoration of Israel in my Bible. The restoration of Israel was something that was looked at as impossible. It's going to be 60 years that this nation is now a reality. And there was no way in World War II that you would have considered that God could make a nation for the Jew. This is what the Lord says, verse 8. In the time of my favor, I will answer you. In the way of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land, to reassign it desolate inheritance, and to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. You see, a lot of times we read the word and we don't apply it to ourselves. We read the word for somebody else, or it's for them, and for them, never for me. The restoration of Israel is really the restoration of us. For us to become the Israel of God. Not the Jacob of God. The Jacob of God is really the man of God that's working out of his mind and out of his soul, out of his will and his emotions. But the Israel of God is working out of his spirit. And out of that inner man, you will begin to see the changes that are needed in your life. So, he says, I will restore the land and reassign it its desolate inheritance, and to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. They will feed besides the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat upon them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside the springs of water. And I will turn all my mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up. See, they will come from afar, some from the north, some from the west, and some from the regions of Aswan. Shout for joy, O heavens! Rejoice, O earth! Burst into song, O mountains! For the Lord's comfort comforts his people. Who comforts his people? The Lord. And will have compassion on the afflicted ones. You see, he's not done. He's going to finish his work. And he will do a mighty work in every single family. I want to skip to verse 19. Though you were ruined and made desolate, and your land laid waste, now you will be too small for your people. And for those who devoured you will be far away. The children born during your bereavement will yet say in hearing, your hearing, this place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in. Then you will say in your hearts, who bore these men? Who bore me these? I was bereaved and barren. I was exiled and rejected. Who brought these up? I was left all alone. But these were, where have they come from? This is what the sovereign Lord said. See, I will beckon to the Gentiles. I will lift up my banner to the people. They will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their shoulders. Kings will be your foster fathers and their queens your nursing mothers. They will bow down before you with their faces to the ground. They will lick the dust at your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. For those who hope in me will not be disappointed. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes right now. I'm going to ask you to try to digest this next verse. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. I'm going to ask you to repeat that very slowly. Say, Lord Jesus, my hope is in you, not in my own flesh. And I will not be disappointed, as my hope is really in you. Hallelujah. Now the next level is verse 25. This is what the Lord says. Yes, captives will be taken from warriors, and plunder retrieved from the fierce. Plunder retrieved from the fierce. What does that mean? That means that there are some that are going to be too difficult for you to deal with. Things that are going to be too hard for you, and God already knows it. But then his next promise, he says, I will contend with those who contend with you, and your children I will save. Now, you know, salvation of my children is one of my main goals. How do I do it? By being myself. If you've got children, be yourself. I will make your oppressors eat their own flesh. They will be drunk on their own blood as with wine. Then all mankind will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Why this word today? I believe it's to let you know we're on a new path. I believe that he's building up what he wants, the way he wants it done. And if you're here for the first time, welcome. If you're here for the second and third time, welcome. If you think that you're going to do this on your own, it's impossible. Because you know what? There is an adversary who hates your guts. He's going to push you around, trying to change you and change your mind as to what you've already dedicated your heart to do. That's his job. How many know the enemy is a liar? Wouldn't it be stupid for him not to lie? What am I saying that to you before? I believe I'm saying it to you beforehand so that you'll have an awareness that there's a war to be fought, and it's up here. It's inside your brain that's the biggest war. And I can tell you this, you're going to need to pray for each other. You're going to need to intercede for each other. Otherwise, you won't make it. And the deceiver would try to tell you, well, who am I to pray for so-and-so? How does it work? I can tell you how it works. You can be actually brushing your teeth or combing your hair or washing your face, and you'll see somebody's face And you'll say, why am I seeing that person's face now? You could be in the shower scrubbing your back. And you'll get a name and it'll bounce into your head. Pray for them. Don't stop until the Lord releases you. You might have a word that'll come into your heart. Like I did this week for this guy. And there was a psalm that bounced into my heart. And I see his face in my head. I see it. I'm driving. And the Lord says, call. Call now. So I picked up the phone. And of course, he was busy. But that's okay. I left him the message. But God used it for his glory. Because we got to connect a little bit afterwards. Why? Because one person that could be in the middle of a real mess, another one is on the sidelines waiting to hear from God to release that word so that the other one can have faith to continue. You see, if you think you can do it on your own, you'll be full of pride. And God is against the proud. So if you'll close your eyes one more time, I'm going to ask you to pray. Put your right hand over your heart, if it's free, and say, Lord Jesus, I'm asking to be a servant of the Most High. And when you show me someone in need, I will pray for them. As quickly as you show me what to do, I'll do it. If it's a phone call, I'll do it. If it's to intercede, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to do. Whenever you want me to do it. To the best of my ability. I'm asking for the grace now. To go forward in obedience. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Now, my spiritual dad, in a sense, Pastor Jay, last week sent us this little news bulletin, and their church called Rock Road Chapel burned down. And we asked the body of Christ to set aside a gift. And we don't pass the basket in this church because God has told us that it's up to the individual to just donate when it's time. The gold plate that's there is to be released to Rock Road Chapel. And I know that the House of Prayer, from some of our money that we've set aside, is going to send something along with whatever God tells you to do. So your tithes and offering belong in the silver plate. But if you have a special gift for Rock Road Chapel that will be sent out along with a note this week, we'd like you to put it in that gold plate during the time that we have some goodies and some coffee and some fellowship. So again, would you close your eyes and just say, Lord Jesus, show me what to do. Guide my spirit to obey so that you will be pleased with what I have and what you've given me. Amen and amen. We want to bless the food in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Make it holy and enjoy each other's company. And be obedient to make sure you give out a few hugs, because if you go home without them, we're in trouble. Yeah.